Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dr. Iman.
This is our second episode in the series of Art and War. Last one, we spoke about art and war generally, men of Srebrenica. Today, we will speak about White Arm Band. White Arm Band in the recent history. I am Iman Tahawi. I am cardiology consultant, and I started genocide research lastly in Europe from 1939 to 1945. They started to impose wearing certain patches and bands according to a certain population, mainly Jews, year by year from occupied Poland to Bulgaria, passing from France, occupied parts of France, Bulgaria, and the USSR. Here is some black from occupied France that is occupied by Germany. And even physicians, some physicians are forced to wear certain patches. And this is a discrimination. This is an early stage of genocide. They discriminate people, differentiate males from females and children, and going to concentration camps. One of the famous books is a medical students journal written by John Hargrave, and it is published by Imperial College Press. In 1992, after 50 years in Bredor, this is area in Bosnia and Herzegovina, they started this discrimination as early as September 1991, according to the ICTY in 2005. And they started discrimination. Here is children and females. And some witness described what happened in this White House. She described a sexual abuse day by day, young, old, whatever. That is one of the horrible events happened during ethnic cleansing, which is a stage of genocide. And I insist on telling that concentration camp. This is not 1940, it is 1992. They are almost skin on bone. Their vertebral column is obvious to us. And this is marks of ecchymosis and bruises for some victims. These pictures are taken in secret. And this is the housing or concentration camps from ICTY report. Where is the world? The world was celebrating, and the Daily Mirror said two faces. One mother is from Bosnia, and the other royal family. The world was absent from what is going on, and they may know what happened, but they didn't interfere well or stop further ethnic cleansing and atrocities. They destroyed holy places, whether mosques or non-Orthodox Catholic churches. Some houses are occupied, and they started to expel them and mark the houses with white painting or white blanket or whatever white mark. And this is a mosque destroyed. This is a mosque. They are praying in fear, just 5 persons from this town. So the world is silent. This is Fikret, one of the famous prisoners. This is a brave journalist from UK. And this is Fikret. He is very thin hair and almost a different view after almost 20 years. They tried to hide what happened, ignoring and denial. It should be obsessed by a culture of remembrance, so people in Bridor start and try to remember their victims and enforce the world, at least the European countries or their country, to make some events like White Arm Band Day. Welcome my guest, Sir Robert McNeill. He's a member of British Empire. He is a UNESCO artist, a chair of refugee integration of refugees through art and language. He's ambassador of Remembering Srebrenica, UK, and he's of course a former forensic technician, and I'm honored to work with him. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, Iman. That's very kind of you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
I will ask you to tell us about this painting.
Yes, well, this painting is called White Armband, and as you said previously, you've given a very good description of what happened in the Prijedor area. I first started working with victims from concentration camps in 1997, and then that continued to further into the Prijedor area, where Omarska, Kerteram camps were in Thermopylae. And the painting was actually inspired by a friend of mine called Elvira Mukanovic, who was, as a teenager, was captured by the Serbians. The family were thrown out of their home, and they were forced to wear white armbands because all non-Serbs in the Prijedor area were told to identify themselves. And of course, a white armband that denoted them as being non-Serbs. And so the painting, as I say, was inspired by Elvira because of her story, which is quite an amazing story, really. She was incarcerated in Thermopylae concentration camp. Her then fiancé, Jasmine, he was taken to three camps, Thermopylae, Omarska, and Kerateram camps. And they thought that they would never see one another again. In fact, they believed that each of them had been killed by the Serbs, but fortunately, they survived and they came to Scotland. They managed to escape to Scotland, where they now live. And so in the painting, you'll see a family or a woman and two children, all wearing white armbands, and I've described why that was the case. In the background, you'll see some buildings, and including in those buildings is the infamous Omarska camp. And the main building that I've featured in the painting was known as the White House. The White House was a terrible place where men and women were taken daily to be beaten. Women and men were sexually violated, and many of them were killed. Indeed, up to 150 people were killed every day and night in this terrible place. And so the painting in the painting you'll see the mother figure, the woman. You have to look quite closely, but she's cradling a photograph, a smashed photograph of her family, her husband, her two children, and her, because after being ethnically cleansed, they were taken from their homes and were thrown out of their homes with virtually nothing. They had no belongings that they could take. The Serbs had stolen everything from them. And you'll see in their expressions, they look very sad. The smaller child is looking just frightened and confused. He doesn't understand what's going on. And the mother then is faced with trying to find a place of safety for her and her children, in the knowledge that she may never see her husband again, and so that's what inspired the painting.
Okay, good description and marvelous painting. May I ask some questions for you?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, I flooded my vision and read a lot about what happened and found this painting summarizing what happened really. And the eye, the gaze, and the way of looking describes a lot. I could see their eyes are almost when we look at this one, you see this man. I think he's telling a story. The boy is telling a story. He's telling us what happened really, but as you said, by he doesn't know what happened and he's afraid. And also the mother is looking for a future. Her look is telling that. Okay, I think there is objects rather than symbols in this photo. Am I correct? These are not symbols. You see, this house is not a symbol. You said it is a white house.
Yes, well, it's intended to be factual, along with the narrative that I've just described. But I think that what's symbolic about the photograph is the fact that I mentioned that the photograph had been smashed. The glass was smashed in the photograph. And that symbolises to me the breakup and the heartache involved in families being treated this way, and so their family is no longer together. But she clings on to that photograph as the only remnant that she has of her former life with her husband and children, and so she takes that with her. And my thought was that it may well be that somehow they might have a future together again, and that's why in the background of the painting you can see that the painting was done was showing nighttime, but there is a sunrise perhaps or a twilight that symbolized hope really, but it was uncertain. And so that was what was concerning the people of that area. They just had no idea where they were to go or how to save their children and themselves, and if they would ever have returned to having a family again.
Yes. And that is the role of a painting, is to give us not what happened only, but what is felt. The feeling of victims is obvious in this famous painting. It's I had seen this on many websites, and speaking about what happened during Bosnian genocide. One of them is remembering Srebrenica, about the early stages of genocide, ongoing genocide in Bosnia. Other websites and Facebook pages, I discovered putting this in what happened in Pretoria. It is telling a lot. And thank you really for this one, about the fate of survivors. There is a possibility to make a new version of the same family in a new life. If you could paint a new one about the current status of this family, almost 30 years after what happened?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about painting an update regarding Elvira and what happened after she was rescued from the concentration camp, and the International Red Cross managed to get both of the Elvira and her husband Jasmine out of the camps, and they then met in a refugee camp in Croatia where they were sent by the International Red Cross, and it was there that they first met one another again, and it was from there they came to Scotland and and now live happily there. So whilst I don't know if I'll do another painting of this event, but what's important and worth saying, Iman, is that in 2021, along with Remembering Srebrenica Scotland, we managed to put together a small exhibition of artifacts about the war in Bosnia. And Elvira very kindly provided us with some very personal items for display in that exhibition in Glasgow's largest museum. In fact, this museum was the place where all of the world leaders who attended COP21, the climate change conference, all of the world leaders came to this museum for a formal dinner. And it was right that the dinner was placed beside this small exhibition. And so I was invited along to speak to one or two people there, including Prince Charles, or then Prince Charles, and Camilla, who are now, of course, the King and Queen of our country. And I told Prince Charles the story of Elvira and her family, and he was very interested in it. So the reason that I mention this, Iman, is because Elvira's story has been told or has been seen by many, many people, many important people from across the world, many politicians and leaders of countries.
Yes.
And so I'm very pleased that the fact that her story at least has been passed on to others in this way.
Yeah, and I'd like to see this. This story is one of thousands, more than 30, more than 3,000 victims killed, and 30,000 ethnically cleansed from Prijedor, and everyone in Bosnia during this genocide has a story to tell. They are sharing the common feeling of pain and torture and etc. But everyone is a unique in his pain, and this is one of the stories we should remember. And as we said, it is a culture of remembrance, and it is standing against an ongoing denial. And this is a different language in which your painting is also a universal language. So your painting is a language everyone could understand and feel what happened, know what happened, and feel the feeling of these victims. And really, I'd like to thank you for this marvelous painting and your activity as a forensic technician in the forensic teams established a work that helped a lot during identification of thousands of victims during Bosnian genocide. I'd like to tell also that without this early forensic activity, and if they said we are tired or we couldn't continue this, nothing could happen. But you insisted, your teams, all of you, photographer, forensic technician, forensic pathology, anthropology, whatever, all of them insisted on continuing their work to reach missing persons and to identify what happened. And this was was there was a trial of hiding what happened mainly in Bredor by hiding all evidence. And still, I repeat, the culture of remembrance in front of the culture of denial is important now and forever. It is marvelous. And thank you, sir, for your time and your activities.
Thank you, Dr. Iman. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again.
It's a pleasure to me. Thank you.
Okay, then. Take care. Yes, same with you. Thank you.
Okay,
Bye-bye.
thank you. Bye bye. Bye bye.